Thank you, Jesus, for being the Lamb. Amen. Thank you, Deborah, for singing about the Lamb. That's where our first allegiance needs to be. I was thinking all through Bible school, when we would stand and we would do our pledges to the American flag and the Christian flag and Bible, I began to think as we did it, and I'm glad we did it today, is, you know, the Bible, God says, try me. He says, try me, prove me. I think about that often. What would it be like if we were to be more obedient pledges? I thought, think about how it would be if we, you know, it is really easy during Bible school to stand up and do that. It's even fun, Mike. You know, it's just part of Bible school. That's part of it. It's easy to do it here. But what would it be? What would God begin to do if, like, at home, when the family's getting a little off track in the allegiance to the Lamb, allegiance to the Word, that somebody stand up in the kitchen or living room and pledge allegiance and start telling what's right at work? How about school, Mike? How would it be? You know, in Scripture, and there's some anointed songs, I believe, and some anointed writers. In Scripture, though, often you look around, you're reading a verse, you look around the Scripture. Well, I did that, Deborah and Kay, as we got through singing. Let me show you what I found. I'll say one thing, and I'll show you something. I'll never forget, I think as long as I live, having Eric's family from China with me, and I'd begged Eric for pictures for 2 years of where they lived, the family, he didn't show me anything. So his dad was showing me pictures. They pull up a picture, and it's like a family picture of extended family. And they look, and it's Eric's uncle, and they say, he's a communist. So he's a communist. And I thought about freedom, so we're there. And so Eric's, they begin to ask me, what's July 4th? What's it mean? How would you answer that, somebody asked you? I started giving the kind of basic answers. And only by the grace of God, I said, well, you know, we had to fight, Steve, for our freedom. And Eric looked at me, he said, we can't fight for our freedom. They took all our guns. We ain't got no guns. Man, so think about that. But look at this. So in the Star Spangled Banner, it talks about the perilous fight. Amen? And our freedom is still worth fighting for, the freedom to be able to worship God. That's why we came, y'all, okay? I don't care what the history books are rewritten, so what people say. We came for the freedom to pledge allegiance to the Lamb, and we can still do that. Praise God. Amen? So the perilous fight. Well, So Deborah took us back a few songs. In 799, we sang America the Beautiful. Guess what the next song is? Heal Our Land. And then the next song after that on 801 is King of the Nations, talking about Jesus Christ. And then you get to the Star Spangled Banner. Guess what the song after the Star Spangled Banner is? If My People Would Pray. God's good, amen? God is good. Well, I have wonderful news. I was, Candy came to me, and Bridget came to me as I got out of the prayer room. Though my pocket had vibrated my phone, and I felt like that's what it was, but I hadn't had time to check. But our team from Peru has made it. If you followed online or have heard and been praying, oh my goodness, they left out of here Friday night and were 1 hour late leaving Charlotte. That threw everything off. They spent the night in Texas, had to fly to Florida last night. They arrived this morning in Peru early and then just made it Arequipa right as we're getting ready to begin service. So, hey, in God's plan and God's will, amen. I had texted some of the group, they were texting me, you know, and we had prayed Wednesday night very expecting, you know, there'd be trouble and Satan to try to block his way. As I've often said, though, I tell you, I'm not ever going to be upset or frustrated about missing a flight, because if God don't want me on a plane, I don't want to be on that plane, amen? But they've arrived, and so be praying for them. That won't be the last trouble they have when they're gone. But they're excited, and the folks there in Peru are excited to have them there. And so we just pray that God will do a mighty work. We're just so thankful. In fact, let's pray now. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, that you have allowed the mission team to arrive safely in Arequipa and to be united now. They're with the missionaries, I got word, and luggage. Praise God. And Lord, we've just given you this trip and given you those we love so that have felt called to go serve. We continue to thank you for Live Simply there in Peru. We know, dear God, that you've got big plans. Lord, I like as someone reminded me this morning, as we know, Lord, Stacy's very conscientious and thinking about the plans and what I have accomplished. And Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that as I heard this morning, suggestion was made, perhaps just to give all the team a blank sheet of paper and say, this is our itinerary, sign your name to it, and however God fills in the plans, Lord. But I know there's great needs there, and the missionaries have made plans, and Lord, so we give you those plans. But I pray that the ones that have gone will truly give their lives to the leaders there and the work and the people, so it would be that way. But Lord, I'm thankful that you brought us here today, Lord. We have many that are traveling, and I just pray that you give them a good time away and bring them safely back to us, that the lights might shine brightly as they're on vacation, Lord. And I pray, Lord, though, I'm so thankful, Lord, we can come to worship, that we have the freedom, Lord. There was no fear this morning, Lord, that someone would prevent us from coming in the church. And Lord, we can just come worship you, a freedom, Lord, that I'm afraid we take for granted. So, Lord, I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for Jesus Christ who gave his life for us. And I thank you, Lord, that you do still tell us if we'll humble ourselves and seek your face, turn from our wicked ways, you'll hear our answer. We claim it in the word this morning. We see it in song. So we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and I was going to say, we're going to really focus on verses 18 and 19. But for some reason, earlier this morning in my study and even now, I want us to begin reading in Matthew 4, verse 1. So would you stand with me all over the church if you're physically able? Matthew chapter 4, and verse 1 says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city and taketh him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' And Jesus said to him, 'It is written,'" again, "'thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said to him, 'All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' And then said Jesus to him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Now let's look at verse 18. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Dear God, I thank you this morning that that call is still ringing loud and clear. Lord, you called us to your house this morning. You've called us to your word this morning. You've called us in prayer this morning. You're calling us to leave here with light shining. You've called us to follow you as you leave here. And Lord, I just pray, dear God, that we would follow. And Lord, I pray we'd be reminded, Lord, that Satan is still in the business of temptation. And Lord, the answer is still as Jesus showed us here in responding to those temptations with the word of God. And Lord, really responding to everything with, "It is written." It is in your word that we live and stand this morning. It is in your word, Lord, that we answer all the concerns we have and all the problems that attack us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated. If I had to give this message a title, I simply would call it "Jesus Walking By." Jesus walking by. Look there in verse 18, because that's what we have in verse 18. Okay, it's pretty simple. "And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee." I think about Jesus walking by, and I think about how many times I'll stop and think about what I'm doing, what I'm thinking about, where I'm at, what I'm involved in, and I'll begin to think a moment, and I'm thinking, well, you know, Jesus is really present in the person of the Holy Spirit, so Jesus is walking by. Jesus is there. So as Jesus walks by, what's he see me doing? Think about that for a moment, kind of in your mind, kind of scan last week for a little bit. Go through Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and think about what did Jesus, as he walked by, as he was there with you, what did he know you were saying? See, you spoke some words, and he knew all those, but here's the thing about Jesus. He knew every word, Miss Linda, that we were thinking. So Jesus is walking by. I dare say things would be different if we would spend more time thinking, but as I was thinking about how sometimes, if you would, I think about Jesus walking by his presence, I thought about, Lord, how many times, how much time I spend not thinking about Jesus coming by. Amen? Are you with me? How much time in a given day and week that I am absolutely thinking nothing of the fact that just as Jesus walked by, and we'll look at specifically what it kind of means in this calling of the disciples and how it means still as we walk by, but I became overwhelmed and kind of convicted and burdened, even ashamed of how often during a day's time, Miss Margaret, that I'm not spending any time thinking about Jesus' presence, Jesus' purpose or his power. I'm not thinking about him at all. Is anybody else with me? Amen? Just not all that time that goes by. I found that so often when I spend time, you know, if you'll spend time thinking about Jesus, then it comes conviction. Immediately, I'm always convicted of the time that day or during that way I'm spending in his word and in prayer. And I'm near arrived at the point that I'm not always convicted, saying, Lord, I need to be in your word more. I need to be in prayer more. There's kind of a standard thing. And I say, man, can I grow anymore? Can I get beyond this? But I thought of it often. You know, I begin to pray and God, I need more time in his word. And I need more time in prayer, more time sharing him. I need to take care of myself better so I can be ready to serve him. And after all, I've been 52 years old and still come with that same basic thing. But partly I'm reminded it is my lack of thinking enough about what it means when I don't do and I do those things. But when I think about thinking about him, when I think about him walking by and see his disciples, could you imagine being in that situation? Could you imagine him walking by at some point this week? These men were simply doing their jobs. It was what their jobs were. It's what they normally did. It was their everyday habit of what they did on a daily basis when they're working. So every one of you find yourself, if you're off this week, coming up soon, you go back to work or school, you're going to find yourself. And the fact is that Jesus is still walking by. And oftentimes, Jesus is calling you from what you're doing right now to go and do something entirely different. And the older we get, the more limited we get in thinking about that. Amen? Well, I've kind of made my decisions. I've made my choices. And even Sharon's retired now, so my life's kind of patterned out. Oh, no. I'm telling you what, I still believe that Jesus still walks by. And I still believe that Jesus calls people of any age and any place, anywhere, that he still calls that follow me. We'll talk about more. But I found, I think, and maybe you can relate with me in this, what were the disciples thinking about in the days leading up to this encounter? Hey, what were they thinking about? You know, you almost have to think, especially talking about the men there with their dads, you know, and I think about working with my dad and how challenging that can be. Anybody, amen? What was your dad? Love my dad to death, but I'm telling you, it's a challenge. So what were they thinking about? You know, what were they aggravated about? What had happened? What was going on? What was happening in the family or in the work? And how was things going on? And one answer that I found that I think why we don't spend enough time thinking about Jesus walking by is it is much easier to spend our time thinking about other people and what they're doing or not doing. Amen? Right? Man, that's a lot more interesting. It's a lot easier, seems a lot more exciting. I mean, I'm one of the world's worst. I'm riding down the road, you know. I mean, I've got, you know, 10 and 2, trying to be the good driver. And I'm in the car, and I look over, and my family, you know, they're reading text or looking at an email, something's online, and somebody will mention something. Let me see that. Show me that picture. Let me see that. I mean, I just want to know, right? At that point in time, I could be honest and say, you know, in the flesh, I could care less what Jesus was thinking, but I want to know what's going on. Now, some of you looking up here to me right now with your faces, you're more spiritual than I am, but hey, it's just a lot more interesting. I spend a lot more time looking and thinking about what other people are doing instead of looking in the mirror of the Word of God and let Jesus Christ walk by in these scriptures and let me focus what he focused on. Amen. Man, they're wondering, you know, it's amazing what you can find online now. And I've got some very expensive Bible software, okay? I mean, I'll tell you, I have bought a package and I've added to the package and I've got a lot of resources. and a lot of things. But you know what? Even as a pastor, I found in all of those resources, sometime I'll be thinking about some verse in the Bible where somebody did something, something very obscure. And I realize I can go to Google and I can put, where in the Bible does this happen? And sometimes it'll pull up a Bible website and it'll pull up the passage quicker than that software I spent all that money for. So it's great things. Some of you will say, man, I found my long lost friend. You might have found a family. Man, that's so much wonder. Man, I buy stuff cheap online. But let's be honest. What's one of the main things we do? Just learn more about things. I don't get the paper anymore. How many of you still get the newspaper? Raise your hand if you still get the newspaper or get the newspaper delivered. That's kind of amazing. Isn't that amazing? And I found when I canceled the paper, I just catch the headline, you know. And I look at Fox News a lot, but what I found several years ago is I would look at that news and somebody made the statement of, well, they're just telling us what they want us to know. And so I went on my website thing, and obviously I'm not reading my Bible, not praying, and I'm wasting my time that I'm preaching about. But I went on, and I put in, like, the CNN, and I put it in a couple other news things. And here's what I'll often do. I'll go, and I'll be reading a news article, and I'll say, well, I wonder what they're saying over here. And you'll go to another site, and they don't even mention it. Over here it's the big headline, and over here they don't even mention it. So what's that tell you? So much of what the news puts out, so much of what other people put out about what's going on in the world, about other people, is just designed to get our attention and try to get us thinking the way they want us to think. Well, you know how they do that? You know where that came from? You know where the concept of wanting to be in control and the concept of wanting to put things in our mind and the concept, it comes from God Himself. God put within us this desire for truth, this desire for knowledge, this desire for understanding, this desire to know, why am I here? What should I be doing? Am I doing what I'm supposed to? Oh God, someone is sick. How do we pray? What doctor do we go to? What do we have? So God gave us that. So the information we're looking for is contained still within these pages. Amen. And I'll never get rid of my Bible to just do it electronically. I've got a Bible on my phone, a Bible on the computer, and all those things. But I would never, because there's just no substitute for understanding that, listen, all the knowledge I want. I've said this before. And especially around the younger generation, around even my children, and around the lifestyle we live, what would it be? What would it be like? Think for a moment. I went with Eric to orientation at school. I've talked to some others that you've gone with students for orientation at college. I found it to be two main things. It was mind-numbing and bottom-numbing to sit all day and listen to all that information they had to give. Amen? I began to think about what would it be like. As I noticed, every time we broke for a session, every time I notice when even people leave in church or I get in a car with a group of people and you've been tied up in something, what's immediately happening? Checking the phone. Got a text. Got an email. Get going on Facebook right quick. Go on Instagram. Go on Twitter. I got to see what's going on right. What would it be like? If you were caught up in working, so Chris, I imagine you, as Chris was joking, we had a funeral last week, and I guess y'all had closed the shop because I knew several guys were there for the shop. But I tell you, Chris is looking sharp now. Chris had on a white shirt, them other pallbearers did, tie. But it's so funny just knowing their lifestyles and everything and who they are, where they are. I said, hey, guys, y'all going to work after this in them white shirts? Chris's brother, Timothy, said, Miss Ma, he said, well, I don't like to get dirty. He said, in fact, I can work a lot. And Chris said, oh, I just like to get all in it. If I went back, I'd just get all in it. Well, see, what happens so often is, I picture that, Chris, you're just all in it, working on a transmission or an engine or something going on. Mike, you just taught the best lesson that you've ever taught. You were so focused on what you were teaching, you know. You're just doing that. I mean, Deborah, you're on the phone and you're working. And Kay, you just made the most beautiful arrangement that you've ever made. But all of a sudden, when that breaks, that you immediately, I mean, you just had a desire and a hunger that immediately went and you grabbed your Bible or put it up on your phone and said, God, I want to see what's going on. You say, well, preacher, that's happened over 2,000 years ago. I've heard it before. There's nothing new in here. Oh, well, you don't understand what Jesus is walking by. And you can pick up the Bible and it's like the words can jump off the page. It can speak what you're doing. What would it be like? What if we just tried him and his word and said, every time I finish something, instead of going to my phone or instead of going home or going to do what I want to, that I was so hungry just to hear what the Lord had to say, just to believe that Jesus was walking by. So now some of you, I know what you're going to be doing. You're going to be thinking about every time you grab your phone this week, and thank God that's the Holy Spirit. But think about that. What would it be like, Sandy? What would happen if we'd have been so concerned believing really that Jesus could walk by? Well, that's the picture we have. And when the importance of that comes, and turn into Genesis chapter 3 with me. All the church loves and the preachers go to Genesis because everybody can find Genesis. And we're going to chapter 3. Some of you are so excited now. It's the quickest you've ever found scripture. Genesis 3 and verse 8, read it. Why is it so important to have that excitement and not just a preacher excitement for his word and walking by and knowing that when he says, follow me, where are we going next? Amen. I text one of the Peru team that were last night. It was about 11:30. They were texting me and they texted during their day. And I said, hey, just enjoy the journey. Just enjoy the journey. And flat, that's what you can do in Jesus Christ. I mean, even a journey to a new procedure for Byron back there, whatever. Let's just enjoy the journey, amen? But why is it really, even beyond that, why is it so important to be thinking about Jesus walking by? And the question is, because there's somebody else walking by too. Because in Genesis 3, in verse 8, it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? I love this picture. I talk of it often in messages because that experience of daily, God, could you imagine just daily walking through? You know, to wake up in the morning and think about there's God's in the bedroom, you know. Think about, you know, you're in the morning, you're getting your breakfast, you're getting ready, and there's God walking through, just a common occurrence. It wasn't Adam and Eve, and just the presence of God and the protection, all you'd feel. But what's the setting of this? Why is God asking Adam and Eve where they're at? He's asking that question because Adam and Eve have fallen in sin. They fall into the temptation of the devil that we just read in Matthew 4 about the temptation that Jesus experienced. And by the way, let me say it this way. If Satan will attack the very Son of God, God himself in human flesh, and will attack him and try to bring him down, what do you think Satan is thinking about? How easy a target does he think that I am and you are to come at you? Oh, he's coming, amen? So the context is that God is asking, where are you at? God knew exactly where they were at. He knew exactly what they had thought, what they had done. He knew everything. By the way, us too, amen? He knows everything. He just wants us to hear him ask the question moment by moment every day. That should help drive us away from what the world's doing and what everybody else is doing. Be concerned. Say, hey, God is asking me moment by moment, where are you at? Think about our thoughts. You start thinking about somebody, some problem. You start getting mad. You get frustrated. You get upset. And all of a sudden, God says, there's sin that's entering in. I know everything that they did, but I know everything that you said and did too. I know your walk with God. Where are you at? See, we need to stop worrying about where everybody else is at and hear God just pleading with us, like, where are you at? And that's what jumps out of the Bible this morning to me and to every one of us. God, where are you at? As a church, that's what God was, where are you at? Where are you at and where are you going? Turn me to Job chapter 1 and verse 7. Because some of you are thinking, well, preacher, you said there's somebody else walking by. There's something else we've got to watch out for. What's going on here? What's going on here is the fact that Genesis picture takes us to the picture in Job chapter 1 and verse 7 of the other one that's walking about. So there's somebody else doing some walking in the Bible, not only Jesus Christ, and that still is happening today. In Job 1:7, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Y'all, that gives me cold chills to think of. Every time I read that, I'm thinking about that picture of God. And see, once again, God knew what Satan was doing. God knew where he was at, but he even asked him that question. Where he said, well, I'm walking. Now, there's some encouragement here. The picture of Satan walking to and fro is Satan is just a fallen angel, okay? Satan is not God. He's not Jesus. He's not the Holy Spirit. Satan cannot be everywhere at the same time like God can. So he has to go up to and fro and up and about. I've had many people tell me, they said the devil made them do it, and the devil went within 100 miles what was going on. It's just their own sorry self and their own bad choices. Amen? So he's walking about. But that don't mean he can't walk by your house. That don't mean he can't walk by. And by the way, we need to understand Scripture. The Bible tells us that a third of the angels fell with him. So they are demons, they're spiritual powers. And we live in a world that laughs about that and scoffs at that and make fun of you about that. You start getting that conversation, something will happen. Every time there's an attack, we see on the news there's death and all that's going on. And I'll say, hey, that's got Satan's signature all over it. You know, if he weren't there, a demon was, or choices or sin that fall. Yeah, it's going on. And I tell you, I have wonderful people, wonderful church people, godly people that do this. And you know, I want to say, did you not hear what I said? Did you not understand? I don't speak that well. Do you not understand? Do you not like what I said? Do you not agree with what I said? But we all guess here's this. Well, you know, we sure do need some rain. I want to have grabbed a hold. When Jesus walks by moment by moment, whether it's in a church service, a Sunday school lesson, at my home, riding down the, when Jesus comes by, I want to have got connected with him, I want to have heard him, I want to be convicted by him and comforted by him and challenged by him, and I want to be following him down the road when Satan walks by. Amen? That's the problem that happens too often. I'm telling you what, there'll be people, there'll be church people, good church people, that'll get caught up, maybe even for the 4th of July, going somewhere, doing something, and they ain't following Jesus. They're not realizing he's walking by. They're doing what they want to do, and heaven forbid, that's when Satan or a demon's going to show up, and you're in trouble, amen? But you can be just as much trouble sitting in this church service when it happens, because it can't happen, amen? Or riding down the road or at your home or whatever. We need to understand, folks, we need to know that Jesus is walking by and I want to be connected to him. I want to be, the old term is this, I heard years ago, to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be a member of a church, be a Christian, be all those things. What the Bible speaks of from Genesis to Revelation is there's this opportunity to follow him, to serve him. We remind us, Scott, in our Sunday school lesson, I mentioned two verses in Revelation. When we get to heaven, we're going to serve him. There's going to be a whole bunch of church people that are going to be standing around going, I ain't got no idea what to do. All right. But I want to be realizing that there's such a need to get to take it with him. I read years ago, and let me find the date because I found this, but it's actually in 2006. So thinking about, okay, Jesus is walking by, so we want to be walking with him, amen? We want to be serving him. We want to be following him. We want to be all the things he calls us to do. And I come across, it's actually a devotional, some type of email years ago, and it was entitled this. Are you a threat? Are you a threat? So remember once again, Jesus is walking by and we need to follow him, amen? But Satan is walking by looking for somebody to put off course, to send a demon. So the question for us all is, are you a threat? This devotion is based on Acts 19:15 that says, one day the evil spirit answered, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Are you a threat to the kingdom of darkness? If Satan and his demons had a board meeting and your name came before the board, what would they say? Would they say that you are one of their most feared enemies and they needed to keep many demons harassing and opposing you Or would they say, gentlemen, this person poses no threat to our activities. Leave him alone. He needs no help from us. There are millions of church-going believers sitting in pews Sunday after Sunday who pose little or no threat to the kingdom of darkness. No amens there. If we truly believe that we are at war against rulers and principalities, like the Bible says, that are we can't see them, we realize there's a mandate from God that we need to walk in the fullness of God. We need to realize, as 1 John tells us, greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. But listen as this devotion closes. If you are seeking to fully follow the Lord, you can expect harassment from the enemy. God permits temptation because it drives us deeper into the soul of God. These times reveal God's power to keep us and walk us through the temptations. Our message becomes fruitful when it's born out of obedience and suffering for his name. Do not consider it strange if you find yourself fighting major battles, the more obedient you become to the master. God desires each of us to become a feared enemy of hell in order to affect Satan's domain. When you begin to feel harassed, chances are you're beginning to affect the kingdom of darkness. And Satan doesn't like this, so how many demons do you think are assigned to you? Remember, the title of the devotion is, Are You a Threat? The only way you're a threat is if you're here, if you're just sin, I mean, your life is consumed with sense. And man, I'm telling you what, I know Jesus has already walked by this morning, and I'm still laying in this bed. I got to get up because I want him to see me in his word and prayer. Oh, I know how yesterday was. I was focused on work and all my problems and all that's going on in the world and online. And I got to get away from that, and I got to get following so close to him that, wait a minute, then I'm going to bring more attacks and more harassment from Satan. I'm going to cause more trouble in my life. Yeah. Yeah. In your life, in the church life, in everything we do. And every one of us is guilty so often is we're just not a threat. We're not a threat because we're not thinking about Jesus walking by. And if you're not thinking about Jesus walking by, I promise you, you're not going to be thinking about Satan walking by. But he is. Amen. Every day he is. Jesus is walking by, and God is saying right now to every one of us, just like he said to Adam and Eve, where are you? Where are you? Would you bow with me for a moment, every head bowed and every eye closed? For someone this morning, that question, where are you, is the answer truly be, I'm lost. I don't know Jesus Christ. I'm no threat to anyone, especially the work of the devil, because I'm just caught up in my own life and my own self. You need to receive Christ in a moment. You can leave your seat, leave your sin, and you can come to Jesus. How about it, Christian? Those words ringing out of Genesis say, where are you? How would you answer that to God? Can you say this morning, God, I'm in your word and prayer, sharing you. I am more than I've ever been in my entire life. Or do you have to say, I've got caught up in life. I've got caught up in family stuff. And I've got caught up in my stuff. I'm involved in that and church stuff and political stuff. And that's where I'm at. I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus walks by and he walks right to us this morning. And he says that he finds us, and he already knows that answer, church. But when we begin to answer it honestly right now, or in a moment when you come to the altar and answer that, do you know what he says? And Jesus Christ says, I love you. I love you right where you are. But I love you too much to leave you there. And he'll give you the same call he gave the disciples. He'll simply say, follow me. Church, we make it too complicated following him. It's not about, in the broader sense, just being a pastor or being a teacher, being a leader, being a missionary. But really, to follow him, you'll find it be much simpler than anything else you can do. because following him comes with the opportunity that no longer you carry the burden of making decisions on your own. But you begin to just simply make your decisions in light of what his word says, regardless of how you used to do it, regardless of how you want to do it, or regardless of how anybody else is doing it. But just simply saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. And when Satan's attacks come, when physical troubles come, financial troubles come, emotional troubles come, I'm going to have peace because, Jesus, I'm following you. And even though I maybe didn't follow you into it, I'm following you out of it. And if I was following you when I went into it, Lord, I trust that you'll lead me through it and in it and out of it if you choose. Is there something you need to maybe answer that question, where are you to him at this altar this morning, so that then he can answer back to you where he wants you to be and what he's got for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.